And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show, y'all, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And by golly, that's just the radio. Radio. And then you got the folks out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web. And oh, by the way, in places like YouTube, X, Rumble, and Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. Just looking inside the studio and seeing and hearing all at the same time. And then there's all y'all that podcast it. Anyway, the bottom line is I say all that to say we know where you are. We can see it. And we appreciate it. More than you could possibly know. The entire time we've done doing this show, it's only been because of y'all. So thank you very much. You are much appreciated. Get a few more text messages and stay caught up. David from Huntsville says, thank you, Phil. Back the blue. Yes, sir. Thank you. David from Bucky says, great monologue. Illinois made a fatal mistake. They deployed the wrong peacemaker. Instead of issuing yellow vests, they should have deployed real peacemakers, as in the Colt peacemaker. Yeah. Alex Mathen says, outstanding, Colonel. Back the true blue is a bumper sticker and it's tattoo material, sir. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, did you hear that a professor canceled class after Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announced their engagement?
It was a skit. I saw that clip going around, and I found it very hard to believe to begin with. But yeah, it's a skit. Yeah. Thankfully, if we were at that state, I'd be very concerned. But it's not.
Wow. Somewhere, someone, though, needed some time to collect themselves because it really happened. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
By the way, John also points out, he said, JP, I'm predicting Auburn to crush Baylor 35-17. I'm also predicting tomorrow Florida State's going to upset Alabama 28-24.
I'm very concerned about this Alabama game. Yeah, we'll talk about it later, but...
Yes, we will.
Yeah, we will.
And JP on sports.
That we will.
Bruce from Springville says, Alabama can still carry weapons with K Ivy approving it. Said, Gavin Newsom's a lame duck, has the encouragement like a funeral home. Okay. Joe in Tennessee says the best start for Minnesota would be to vote out Tampon Tim, Keith Ellison, and the other libs from office. I agree with that. John from Brownsboro says, are there any criminal or civil penalties against gaslighting? Like an anonymous post on Facebook says Trump is colluding with Russia and everyone parrots it until the people believe it and we waste hundreds of millions of dollars to prove nothing. Who is accountable for the false narratives and what tools we do have in our toolbox to hold their feet to the fire? Interesting you should say that. So you are not prevented or dissuaded from saying something that you have an opinion on. That's called the First Amendment. You are, though, not allowed to lie for the purpose of recklessly defaming someone's character, knowing full well at the time you made the accusations that they were false. That's called defamation. You're also not allowed to incite violence. You cannot walk into the crowded theater, the old rule is, and shout fire because it can harm people. So if you were inciting violence or if you were attempting to create civil disturbance, then your First Amendment rights come to an end. So it's a bit of a throwdown here. And if someone wants to say, it was just my opinion, that's what I thought was true. Okay. But if you want to say, well, so-and-so is a bold-faced liar. I've known them for years, and they're really just no good, and I got an opinion about their character. Then guess what? You're stepping over into defamation. JT, Lacey Springs, said this kind of depicts what Cracker Barrel did. What will Cracker Barrel do with all the Bud Light? Nice.
That's a dig at Luke Bryan there.
That's nice. All right, listen, we're going to jump onto this first topic, and I got to tell you, this one is, and no pun intended, this one's dark, all right? I called this dipper the dark side of the web. So yesterday, JP and I were talking on the air, and he pointed out some things about, like, this shooter in Minneapolis. And we're not going to spend all our time talking about the events of the shooting itself again. And by the way, somebody pointed out yesterday, he's not a shooter, he's a murderer. Okay, so the murderer, the mass murderer in Minneapolis, sits and foments and festers and steeps himself in the sickness that he was in online chat forums that are usually on what we might call the dark side of the web. Some of these are so dark and so protected that you can't get there unless you know they're there. You can't stumble upon them through a Google search. Sometimes you have to have passcode protection to get in, or even a certain type of search engine that you have to download. Listen, if you have to hide that much, then either A, you're a matter of national security, or B, you know you're doing something wrong. But let's talk about where we are first, all right? Let's talk about that. Before we even get into where they are, let's talk about where we are. Right now, the amazing thing to me is that in the public eye, Christians are being excoriated for wanting to pray and openly calling for prayer with the situation going on in Minneapolis. Fox News has a piece that came out today where the Minnesota bishop, a guy named Robert Barron, Bishop Robert Barron, has been criticizing, and rightfully so, the mayor of Minneapolis, who dissed on everybody wanting to pray. The bishop said, and I thought this was very well put, he said, "Catholics don't think that prayer magically protects them from all suffering. After all," he said, "Jesus fervently prayed from the cross on which he was dying." That's a great point. But he goes on to talk about the fact that we had the gunman who left behind anti-religious writings and had messages that were anti-religious scrawled on his firearms. And then he points out, in the past 7 years, there's been a 700% increase in violent acts against Christians and Christian churches. Worldwide, he said, Christianity is by far the most persecuted religion. The people are even wondering whether the tragedy in Minneapolis is an instance of anti-Catholic violence, and that's puzzling to me. He said, if somebody attacked a synagogue, nobody would question whether it's anti-Semitism. If someone shot up a mosque, nobody would question whether it's anti-Islamic. He said, so why do we hesitate to say that a maniac shooting into a Catholic church is not anti-Catholic? So yeah, great point. And you got to look at this and go, okay, I know there's nuts in the world, but what does it take for a person to get to that point? And what does it take also for the world to not point directly to his issues? So I got another piece from Fox that's dating back to 2023. Because what we're seeing right now in the aftermath, some of the rhetoric from the left, is not new. It's not. 2023. Remember when the shooting occurred in Nashville at Covenant Christian School? Pastors and conservative leaders in this article in 2023 are weighing in on the reaction from journalists and entertainers who are mocking prayer and claiming this is all because Tennessee was banning drag shows. My gosh, I'd forgotten about all that. But yes, there it is. It says, journalists, commentators, entertainers, and activists openly mocked prayer and blamed conservatives for outlawing drag shows and not banning guns. President Biden even said back then, as a nation, we owe these families more than our prayers. We owe them action. How about both? It's okay to say, we're going to pray and we're going to act. You can do that. You know, the scripture says, by the way, to pray without ceasing. We're told that. Scripture also encourages us to pray because that's where we find peace that surpasses all understanding. And all that to say, at the same time, it says they will know we are Christians by our love. In other words, there are things that we will do. They were physical acts that we will be visible to others about. It talks about faith without works being dead. I get that. But it never says don't pray. And yet, right now, we're seeing that there's a decidedly open, antagonistic viewpoint towards Christians. Christians are the ones that got shot up. Christians are now being excoriated for calling on Christ to help in the process of the aftermath. And that's just weird. Where does this come from? How do you get that deep into it? Well, the FBI, according to The Hill, the FBI is actually investigating this, and I'm thankful. I am very thankful right now that we have a different FBI. We have different leadership. But the FBI is now investigating Wednesday's shooting in Minnesota as an act of domestic terrorism and a hate crime toward Catholics, said Director Kash Patel. That's from thehill.com Dateline yesterday. Patel confirmed the suspected shooter and murderer was identified as Robin Westman, who Patel and other top administration officials said was a transgender, and went on to say that this is going to be investigated as an absolute hate crime against Catholics. I don't think that would have happened in the last administration. I don't think it would have. I think it would not have been a hate crime because, well, wait a minute now. You can't investigate something against white Christians. That's not the same thing as a hate crime, is it? Yeah, it is. Where do you go to get this level of opinion built in. Do you have something?
Well, I was just going to add, we probably would have seen the opposite. Like, we've seen the Minneapolis mayor talk about how we can't let this get into trans hate. Like, instead of acknowledging the hate towards Christians, it would have been an initiative to not, or to tame down trans hate from this event. Like, they would have gone the complete opposite route if the Biden administration was in. So.
It's like after 9/11 when the apologists were saying, don't make it about Islam.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Islam's what attacked.
Yeah.
So apparently there's a radical sect of Islam that we got a problem with. Well, guess what? There's a radical sect of transgenderism with mental health issues. And we get back from this break here in a minute. I'm going to talk about exactly like some of the places these people go to sit and inculcate themselves, to literally soak it in and become even more disturbed. And it just happens on an hourly basis. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Dark Side of the Web coming up. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I'm in this first part of the Dipper, the dark side of the web. And what I spent the first part of the discussion points about was sort of framing the where we are, right? So we have this situation with the shooter who would have qualified for any and every red flag law that Minnesota has on. They would have. I mean, literally, that dude would have qualified for any red flag law. He was a nut job. He was in every way, was absolutely a dark personality, very troubled, mental health issues for years, and apparently was self-aware enough to even journal that he knew that he was sick. In his words, I know that I'm sick. He also said that he was suicidal, and he just wanted to take somebody else out with him. And yet what we also find is he was enamored, he fantasized about other mass killers. And then you find out it's also because he was a part of groups on the web where that's what they do. They get in there and they literally begin to weigh in with each other about, what about this one? Oh, it's so cool. And then they start sharing back and forth. And next thing you know, they're idolizing and they want to be like that one. And wouldn't you? And yeah. And then in the bubble they live in, the ones who then act upon it are the ones who are doing it because it's not only something that they've been talking about and steeping themselves in, it's also something that validates them as being important to the group that they've made themselves a part of. A sick group in a dark place in the recesses of the internet, where they go online and they type out any number of things to each other that no one should ever say in public. And I said earlier that some of what happens in these places in the dark web are literally the kind of things that they can't be seen in the public eye because you would be ostracized, and rightfully so, or maybe even arrested. One of the things that occurred to me in terms of setting the framework for where we are right now is I got to thinking, okay, the murderer in Minnesota, he killed these kids and then he killed himself. Case closed, right? Case closed? No, the FBI is investigating it. Or are you just investigating to make sure you've just like tied up all the loose details and there's no like bombs in his house? Or what are we doing? Now, it occurred to me that in these dark recesses of the web, there may well have been, and this is important to think about, there may well have been people who, A, conspired with him on how to do it, B, encouraged him to do it, and C, might have even been willing to participate in it or create copycat efforts. There might have been people who were saying, you do it on this day, I'll do it on that day. We'll do one after the other. You just, listen, that's how sick and twisted these dark places in the web really are. Now, there's several of these websites. And I will say this, the guy actually, I got a piece here, believe it or not, from NPR. Phil, did you go to NPR? I did go to these places so you don't have to. Came out yesterday. There's a host on NPR named Ailsa Chang, and she was interviewing somebody else named Odette Yosef. Anyway, they were talking about extremism on the internet and how people are getting into these websites and they're just sitting there and just grinding away daily and creating an additional version of their sickness. And they said this guy had materials. He had journals. He had been writing in Cyrillic, which, you know, JP and I talked about on the air yesterday, is sort of an indicator that he was involved in some of these dark web groups, and that's what they do. And the FBI is highlighting what it calls, they say in this interview, anti-Catholic messages as well as anti-Israel and pro-Palestine messages. And then you look at it and says, it's echo reporting. I thought that was interesting. It's an echo chamber. They're basically in there echoing to each other, do this. Isn't that great? I love this. Folks, mental illness, unwell people do not make good decisions, ever. Unwell people who are fed more from other unwell people, their illness gets worse. Someone should have been helping the kid, first of all. JP told me right before we came back from the break or sometime when we were off the air that apparently the mother of the kid has now retained defense counsel. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
She should.
And she's actually the one that signed off on his name change, like you said earlier. Yeah. So, it's really messed up.
It says in this interview I got here on the NPR station, it talks about the fact that you go into these sites and they actually create a name for this category of violence. They call it nihilistic violent extremism. Nihilistic violent extremism. Nihilism, violence, and extremism. It's the kind of thing that you get in there and get radicalized. And look, what I am not saying at all, is let's shut down the idea that someone can have dissent. Let's stop people from having opinions. Let's tell people how to think. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is I think I got a better view now of what the FBI could also be investigating. Because if there are people in there who fomented this, then they need to be found out. Now, what are these websites? You know what? I've got some stuff I pulled, and I really wrestle with this. I don't think I'm going to name most of these sites because I don't want to give them credibility. But I will tell you this: one of them, and it's very public because they've been hauled in to testify in front of Congress, is a site called 8chan, and 8chan is messed up. 8chan is like, I've heard of like, you know, Blue Sky is where liberals go to have their Blue Sky, their blue echo chamber, where all they do is talk about hate Trump and bad things and liberal policies. 8chan is a messed up place. What do you got?
I was just going to say that there's a 4chan, which is kind of considered the dark web.
Right.
So 8chan is kind of supposed to be like the even worse dark web, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this piece I pulled off of a site called JTA.org. Says 8chan is an online messaging forum created back in 2014 by a computer programmer to protest censorship originally on another messaging board called 4chan. So it was like a spring, it was like an offshoot. The programmer is a guy named Frederick Brennan. He was upset that 4chan had banned discussions about gaming and some other stuff. And unlike other forums like Reddit, 8chan lacks some like moderation measures. They don't. You can get in there and do whatever you want. And if you go in there, apparently it's filled up with racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, child pornography. It is a place where the most prurient of our societies, it's almost like the online club for everything that is just gross and evil. And 8chan, how does it compare to, listen, the fact it's so bad that literally they've been hauled in and hauled in front of, this is 2019 that I'm reading this article from. It's been hauled in front of Congress to give testimony as to what they're doing about it. And their only excuse was, well, there's a freedom of speech. Okay. But is that freedom of speech conspiring to do evil? If you're trading child pornography on a website, if you're plotting the demise of children praying in a church on a website, then guess what? There's a problem. I got more on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. Y'all stand by. In the meantime, let's go back to dipper number one. So I'm in this dipper. I'm calling it the dark side of the web. Y'all, there's some sinister stuff out there. And I know, you know it's there. But sometimes when you find out about it, like, oh, my gosh, it's just like it's real. This stuff happens. And you know it. You know that evil exists. But then you find out this stuff happens. It's not just the back rooms anymore. It's not just the back alleys. Now they actually have chat rooms and forums where people from all over the world sit and just fantasize together about doing things like what happened in Minneapolis this week. What we also know, and I believe it or not, I pulled this off the Anti-Defamation League. Phil, did you go to ADL? I did. I went to their website. I go to these places, like I said, so you don't have to. The Anti-Defamation League, which, you know, started off as a, you know, protection against anti-Semitism. It became quite the liberal organization in recent years, but they still have some stuff once in a while. They put something out about this guy who did the shooting, the murdering at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis. And they point out that he had a deep fascination with mass killers, that he researched them extensively. It says, unlike many recent mass attackers, it does not appear the Annunciation school shooter left behind a manifesto that outlined a clear motive or ideological alignment. Rather, the shooter was more likely displaying his fetishes, if you will. This is what he wanted to be a part of. He didn't say, I have ill intent per se, which he did. He said, I always want to be a part of this. What is the this? Where do you get all these would-be perpetrators of mass killings? Where do they? Okay. I mentioned earlier that 8chan is one of the sites. Okay. 8chan is more visible. It's actually more accessible, but it's also the more known, so I did bring it up. But I will point out that 8chan in 2019 was called in to testify before Congress, and it points out in this one article that I've got here from a site called TRT Global that when the House Committee on Homeland Security demanded that the website owner come and testify, he refused. He lives in the Philippines. Reckon why that is. And it points out that so far that year alone in 2019, three manifestos from mass shooters have been posted on 8chan. One white supremacist who slaughtered 51 at a mosque in New Zealand, one anti-Semitic attack at a California synagogue, and one in El Paso against a guy who targeted Hispanics. So if it's a place where multiple mass shooters post their manifestos, what does that tell you? Here's one I pulled from the BBC. The BBC did a big rundown, and it's probably more than I can get into right now. But the reality is the BBC did a rundown of this online group that call themselves incels. This is just one, all right? You've got any number of different groups that identify with each other, and then they wind up sitting and festering with each other, and they wind up, you know, encouraging one another. Listen to this stuff. Incels. If you're not familiar, we talked about them briefly yesterday, but incels are a thing. They call themselves incels because that means involuntarily celibate. They believe they are being ostracized by women. Generally, it's men who are just basically have an inability to have social skills, and they become extremely misogynistic. They blame it on women. And then they go and they sit in these violent online festering chat rooms online. In this one particular case, the BBC did a study, and they found that a post about rape was put up almost every 29 minutes. A post about rape, every 29 minutes, and that 59% of the time, the incels who were participating in the discussions about the rape reacted to it positively. What does that tell you? The report does not name the actual forum, and we shouldn't. I wouldn't call it out if it was, because I don't want to give it publicity. But it had more than 17,000 members. It had more than 2.6 million unique visits a month. Women are barred from its membership, so if you're known to be a woman, you can't participate in the online forum. It promotes what they called a violent and hateful ideology linked to the murder of over 100 people in the last 10 years. In other words, how many times has somebody chatted on there what they were fantasizing about, what they wanted to do, and then somebody went and did it, while the others cheered it on and then talked about him later as if he was a hero because of what he did. Some of them produced pictures of it and posted online, and it just stays out there, and they're doing this over and over again. In 2021, one gunman killed five people in the suburb of Devon. He was an alleged perpetrator, a guy named Jake Davison. He was an incel who was on this particular website talking about it. Elliot Roger, another guy in Vista, California, murdered six people, injured 14 before he killed himself. He was an incel on this website. The study says, and here's an interesting piece, this is why I bring it up, it's not just the fact that they're doing it, it's not a lone wolf thing. I don't think this guy in Minneapolis was a lone wolf. I think he's the one who acted out what his community said, let's go do. This study says they are not socially isolated. They're embedded in a community of what they call fellow travelers. There's a well-developed, constantly negotiated, constantly discussed ideology that underpins their belief system and underpins their actions. In other words, they are basically festering together. I keep using that word, but there it is. I can't find a better word. In one particular case, it points out a chat between members who called themselves teenagers. One user claimed to be 15, said that he wanted help from the other members of the incel community on his chat room to figure out how to do what he called going ER, which was a code word apparently for getting violent. He'd been caught carrying a knife in his bag to school. So other users were offering him advice on how to avoid surveillance, congratulating him on his decision to stop taking his antipsychotic medication. I've got one more article here that actually names names. And so I'm not going to name the names, but it names names of the various websites. But let me give you an idea of what we got. This one particular article I pulled has the top 10 dark web and deep web forums of 2025. This article came out last month. And it says that in order to understand it, you have to realize that these are not accessed by traditional search engines. These are people who hide what they do from non-members. If you're having to hide it that much, then it's already wrong and you know it, but you want to keep doing it. And you have to access it through paywalls, firewalls, login credentials. You have to do it in a way that the deep web is only accessible through backdoor means. And then, they keep talking about once you start diving in, then there's different websites. They name one website. It's the longest running forum in the dark web. I won't name its name. It rebranded itself in 2018 after its administrators were arrested. It's primarily focused on hacking and corporate access and data leaks. There's that one. Had another one. It's one of the most notorious dark web forums, it said. It's 10 years old. It's been a major gathering point for cyber criminals for 10 years. It specializes in illegal activities like leaked data and hacking and fraudulent activity. Another one. It's been around since 2022. Specializes in how to share information on data breaches and sharing stolen information. Another one. A dark web forum that exists today since 2018. And this is where you figure out how to do illegal drug sales and where you go to find it. And all the other illicit activities that go right along with it. You got another one that names. One of the top 10. This is ridiculous. That helps you to get around secure communications and how to hack into people's phones and do things you want to do to their personal data. You got another one where people sit and share ideas on how to gain access to sensitive information. You got another one where they hack. You got another one where they break into data. You got another one where they sit and trade pedophilia. You got another one every day, it seems like. Now listen, what am I saying about all this? What I'm saying is, first of all, be aware. I think it's super important, folks. One of the things, I say it all to say, if your kids have a computer in their room, this modern age, they're going to have a tablet, they're going to have a phone, they're going to have a computer, and I get it. But if they are your kids and they have trouble, it is okay for you to check their computer and see what's on it. It's okay for you to do a little research and figure out why they're in that chat room. It's okay for you to ask who they're talking to on their phone today. It's okay for you to do that, and you should. Likewise, I will just say this. That kid who did the shooting, he was 23 years old, but he was living in mommy's basement. So mommy still had a play in his life, right? Mommy should have been asking questions. But if they're a young adult, if they're an old adult, and you see behaviors and you see them hunkering down over that computer in the dark of night all the time, be the friend, be the family member, ask the question. And then here's the other thing. If you know you have a problem with it, if online pornography and chat rooms and things are just ruining your life and you know they are, then let me just encourage you. Find an accountability partner. Find somebody who will say, did you look at it? If you did, I'm coming to turn off your computer. Did you look at it? Did you use the filter we talked about? Have you set yourself up to where you can't see it? Did you delete that? Ask the questions of each other, because that accountability, you can't replace it. If you don't have somebody in your life like that who will ask those questions, then you're at greater risk for falling in line with some of the dark side of the web. All right, that felt like a very dark, heavy topic, but I felt like it was the kind of thing we had to talk about because that's where this guy in Minneapolis, I think, got a lot of what drove him to the point that he started doing the criminal activity overtly. Not just fantasizing anymore, but acting on it. Because they sit there and they encourage each other until somebody finally does it, and then they laud them as heroes, and they wait for the next one. Oh, God, I'm going to take a shower. Let's take a break right now, JP. Take me to the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Let's come back, take some text messages, and clean up some stuff. In the meantime, I'm going to wash off. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Y'all are some texting machines today. I got to catch up here. So coming up after the next break, by the way, don't forget we're going to have JP on sports. We'll step away from the news, the commentary on culture and all that, and just get it from a sports perspective. So yeah, JP on sports coming up after the next break. Adam from Athens texting, and he says, hey, Phil, you missed the protest at the Republican women's event with Dale Strong last night. No, I didn't. but I wasn't there for it. How about that? Yeah, I heard about that. And there was another one for Barry Moore. I mean, listen, having been an elected official before myself, I can just tell you, what a waste of air. I get it how you want to scream and protest. It does nothing. In fact, here's what happens. At some point, either A, you look silly, or B, the elected official decides it's not worth coming back out to see their actual constituents anymore. Because you have stolen the ability for them to have a chance to communicate. It's just amazing to me. Yeah, these, anyway. Okay, Navy Phil from Athens says, Minnesota has red flag laws. How did they miss this? Obviously, it didn't work. It was noted that the hated AR-15 represents 4% of the firearms owned by Americans are used in less than 1% of the murders. Yeah, I know. They don't understand the AR-15 either. They don't understand assault rifles. They don't understand that if you lower the amount of bullets in the magazine, that you still change out the magazine and keep going. I mean, let's be honest. Anybody's got a modicum of training. I can use a 30-round magazine or a 20-round magazine. I'll just carry more magazines if I have to. And you know how fast I can switch them out? Pretty freaking fast. So, yeah, there's that. David from Huntsville says, J.B. Pritzker, Governor Pritzker, says, unlike Trump, I keep my promises. He said, I'm not sure what broken promises Pritzker's talking about on Trump. I'm not either. Pritzker's full of hot air. Joe in Tennessee says, the only action from Biden was that the auto pen did his job, and his only action was to eat ice cream and stagger to a podium and bleat stupid stuff. Trump has done more in 7 months than Slowy Joey did in 4 years. Well, Joe, don't beat around the bush. Tell us how you feel. Thank you very much. Roger from Ardmore says, if a man identifies as a dog, he needs mental help. If a man identifies as a woman, he's fine, and we all should accept it. The difference is the dog can't vote. Yeah, I got news. I think Democrats really like the furries, too, just saying. So, yeah. Jason from Huntsville says, I can't tell you how many subreddits I've been banned from, lifetime bans, just because I expressed a rational thought or asked a rational question.
Yeah, he's mentioning that Reddit's another one that's pretty mainstream, but also this stuff goes on in the corners of that as well.
Yeah.
And can I say something too about the? I mentioned it yesterday. Like, it's important, I think, not to make this an ideological battle. It's not a Republican versus Democrat thing.
It's a mental illness.
This is a spiritual.
Mental illness is spiritual. Yeah.
Good versus evil, demonic. Like, this guy was not a Democrat or Republican. You know, I've seen some people latching on the kill Trump thing on his gun. I mean, there's a lot of other schizophrenic messages on there that he was just filled with hate, and it wasn't like a targeted ideological. This was a kid who, I don't know what his background growing up was, caused him to go along off the beaten path and, you know, get into some dark areas, and it was a demonic, you know, evil came through him. And I think it's a degrading of society as a whole. You know, we're not going to church as much as a whole. You know, you're not friends with your neighbors kind of like you used to be growing up. The structure of society is degrading as a whole, where these people who feel alienated go, and Satan latches his way through these people. So I think it is important, like you said, not to make this a Republican Democrat thing. It's not a gun control issue. I mean, it is. They're making it one, but the real deep root of the issue is it's a spiritual battle going on. It's important to tackle it that way.
Good stuff.
So I thought that was important. It's like, I don't want it to become just a Republican versus Democrat thing, because I think that's missing the mark on what it really is.
I agree with that. I agree with that totally. Absolutely. Kevin from Huntsville said Sodom and Gomorrah. There you go. Jack from Ardmore says, hey, Phil, did you hear that Dale – oh, no, I did not. Okay. He's saying – okay. Dale said nice things about me this morning.
Hey, I guess he can do that or not.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, just so y'all know, Dale and I are friends. Yeah. I mean, I consider him a friend, absolutely. Connor from Huntsville said, hey, Phil, Connor in Huntsville. I go to church with a young lady who used to work for one of the federal agencies that investigates the dark web. She said the information she saw was so vile and so detestable that she's had to leave, so she's doing something else now. The consequences and the fallout to the people who investigate this stuff is devastating. You have nervous breakdowns and divorces. The impact on families is devastating. We all know this evil has existed since the beginning of time, but the internet has allowed it to metastasize to a degree that's sickening. You know, Connor, that is such a great point. I know somebody who had to do collating of intel analysis on some of the things that cartels were doing, and the images they had to review constantly would leave a mark. I've also talked to DAs and prosecutors who said that as much as they love their jobs, that stopping pedophiles and stopping child traffickers is a huge piece of why they signed up for it, but then they still have to review the evidence to go to court with, and that the review of the evidence would often leave them sleepless at night because of what they had to see in order to prosecute the crime. It's a hard thing, man. Real hard. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, whenever you said that mentally ill people couldn't make good decisions, I couldn't help but think that you just described radical liberalism. I do indeed think it's a mental illness, because if you check the boxes for what makes up a mental illness, I'm sure there'd be a lot of check marks in that group. Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, listen, we got more. And Steve from Athens, by the way, says JP's comments were spot on. Good on you, young man. Roll Tide, beat FSU.
Thank you, and roll Tide.
We're coming back. We're changing gears, man. It's JP on Sports. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.